You're listening to episode 30. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com, along with the Cultivating the Lovely show that occasionally happens on Periscope. Today, I have my very good friend on the show with me, Rebecca Sacron, and we thought it would be really good and really fun to be able to just kind of commiserate together and talk about the hard parts of homeschooling, because it's really easy for homeschool moms to paint the good picture, because a lot of times we are in the minority and we want people to think well of homeschooling, but there's some really hard stuff that happens with homeschooling, and we think it's important for people to hear about the difficult things too, not to be dissuaded, but almost to be encouraged. So we're going to talk about all of that in this episode. But before we jump into this episode, I want to mention our sponsor. We are sponsored again this week by Jelly Telly. Now, as moms, we all know that screen time can be tricky. It's hard to know what your kids might be getting into if they're just on those general video kinds of apps, but you can feel good about what your kids are watching with ad-free content that all points to Jesus when you have Jelly Telly. With Jelly Telly, the shows and movies your kids watch over and over again reflect what you believe about God and help you lead your kids into a life of faith where they walk with God every day. Your kids will love having their own video app, and you will love the peace of mind that comes from knowing they can only access quality, faith-affirming content. Co-developed with VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer, Jelly Telly is a safe place for children to experience fun and engaging entertainment while learning about God, the Bible, and faith. It's available on iOS, Android, Apple TV, Roku, and Kindle. Your kids will love being able to pick and choose what they want to watch, since you know it will be safe for them. Visit JellyTelly.com today and use the coupon code CULTIVATETHELOVELY, all in capital letters, just for Cultivating the Lovely podcast listeners, and you can get a 10-page Jesus coloring book download and your first week of Jelly Telly free. So head over to JellyTelly.com as soon as you can and check out the awesome stuff that they have to offer. Okay, without further ado, let's get on to this episode where we talk about the nitty-gritty tough stuff about homeschooling. Hello, Rebecca.
Hey.
I'm so glad to have you back on the show today to be talking about a topic that I know we have experienced a lot of together, because
yes,
we tend to do a lot of life together throughout the day, even from far away, using Voxer and Marco Polo, and that's the hard parts of homeschooling.
Yes.
So Rebecca and I really want to talk today, not to dissuade people from homeschooling, because we still both love homeschooling. We wouldn't make any other choice for our families. Rebecca was homeschooled almost all the way through, right?
Yeah, all but first and second grade.
Okay. So she went all the way through high school. And so we just really want to talk about some of the realities and the hard parts of homeschooling, not to dissuade people, but almost to encourage you that if you're already homeschooling and you're experiencing these things, that it's normal and you're not alone. This is normal stuff for homeschool families and homeschool moms to be dealing with. And all of these things you can work your way through. Like, none of these are insurmountable. And then also to just kind of, I don't know if warning is the right word, but for people who are considering homeschooling, that they know that this is normal also, like to expect these things so that you can prepare yourself for them, right?
Yeah, I think it's just preparation.
Yeah, because all of these things we're going to experience, but there are things you can do to make them easier or just even, I a lot of times feel like even just knowing that other people are dealing with this, it's not just my dysfunctional family. Makes me feel better.
Yeah, it's camaraderie.
Yeah, yes. In the trenches with each other.
Yes.
So we are just going to kind of go through some of the struggles that we have had with our homeschools or we've seen friends go through and just kind of discuss some of those things. So I think, like we're saying, it's really important first and foremost probably to be preparing yourself for the bad days, because there will be bad days, right?
I think, oh my goodness, yes. I think that in the bulk of people that I have seen who did not homeschool and then gave it a try and then ended up quitting, all of them, their number one reason really fell back to the bad days that they didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they think that because it's homeschooling and you see these blissful pictures of what it's supposed to look like, that it should just be easier. Oh, my child was struggling in school, so it's going to be just like great, and they're going to be so happy to be homeschooled, and that might not be the case.
Probably not.
Yeah. And a lot of times I feel like even knowing that it might not even just be a day, you might have a hard week or a hard month, or there may be entire years of your homeschooling that you classify as hard years, and just preparing yourself for that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So I don't think you need to set your expectations low.
No.
But I do think that you have to remember that what they're going to learn with you, even on a really bad year, is a pretty significant amount, probably.
Yes.
More than you realize. It will feel like nothing until you get to the end, and then you'll think, oh, we really did cover a whole lot, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't know how to do division, and you do now, so we made some progress, you know? So I think it is good to just remember that even what seems like really small things, or that maybe you're barely getting something done, it does add up to
yes.
a significant amount of learning.
And I think that even beyond just the hardcore educational parts of it, we have to remember everything else they're learning by being with us. They're learning so many character qualities and having to deal with difficult circumstances and, you know, making allowances for things and having grace with each other and all those kinds of things that can't be measured by an educational test. Or, you know, they're having so many experiences and life knowledge that they are getting just from doing life together at home with their whole family, that we have to remember that that is valid learning also.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So we had 1 year that the girls did not homeschool, and Ivy was in kindergarten, Elena was second, Claire was first grade, and they had the hardest time. And I'm sure it's not like this for everyone. I don't want to make it seem like, oh, your kids can only get along if they homeschool. I don't mean that. But for our family specifically, and maybe because we had been used to being together all the time, mm-hmm. when they would come home from school, nobody could get along.
Mm-hmm.
And now granted, we have days where nobody gets along,
yeah.
but because we're together so much more, we have a better opportunity for time chunks when we do get along. So
yes.
when you're only together in the evening, you don't have that much opportunity for peacefulness between siblings. So when you're all day, every day, you have much more opportunity for that.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that brings kind of up another point, that your children will get sick of each other also, and you will get sick of your children because you're
Absolutely.
With them all the time. And that's normal.
Yes.
Like that is normal, and it's okay to want and need a little bit of space from each other sometimes.
I think for me, even more than space, which I do
yeah.
need sometimes, I just want to run an errand. I just
yes.
want to get in the car, go get what I need, and come home and not have to get shoes on everybody and make sure, you know, 4 other people look presentable and get everybody in the car. And
yes.
no, don't take your shoes off while we're in the car, please. We're about to be there.
Yes.
And just dealing with all of that just to get, you know, a loaf of bread
yes.
or supper or something, and then come all back, you know, that can get old sometimes. That I'm not going to act like that's just a rosy, beautiful situation, because it's not sometimes, or a lot of the time, really.
Yeah, or even just making meals, that I feel like it's a little bit different. I mean, you're cooking more during the day, I think, when you have your kids with
yeah.
you all day long, because you're not just packing a lunch in the morning and sending it with them, although maybe I should be packing my children a lunch.
Maybe
so
you just stumbled upon something.
Maybe I did. But sometimes you just want to get that done, and you don't want it to be like an extracurricular, oh, now I'm teaching you to cook. Like, I just want to get it done
yeah.
without 800
yes.
little fingers in the mix.
Yeah. Because if one is doing it, then they all want to do it. And
yep.
then it becomes something much larger than you ever intended, you know?
Yes. Like, I'm just trying to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah.
We didn't have to have this person gets out the bread and this person does the peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just, that kind of stuff can become exhausting. I think that brings up something that we were talking about before, and that's, it can be hard to get the motivation up just to do a normal school day, which we can talk about in a minute. But once you've done that, having the motivation to go beyond that, to do the extracurriculars and the fun stuff, or break out the art supplies, like those kinds of things can feel even more daunting. I think there are those moms who are just the crafty moms that thrive on that.
For sure.
But if you're not, and like, I even used to think that I was, because I like doing crafts myself, but I found I don't really enjoy children's crafts. And facilitating those, you know? And so it can be really hard to work up the motivation to kind of go above and beyond to do those kinds of things when you're just trying to get through doing school.
Yeah. So I was actually just thinking today, in between, my husband got home yesterday. Brownies are his favorite dessert. I haven't made them in a really long time because I stopped making sweets for us just here at the house. But I had some left over from a church meeting. And I thought, I'm going to make him some brownies, so we'll have them tonight, and that'll be special. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to tell Eileen to do this. Now, I have to confess, I do have four daughters, and I very rarely let them help me in the kitchen. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm recognizing it's not a good thing. But I found out, like you said, I thought I would be one kind of mom, and quickly found out I was not. I found out very quickly, I don't handle chaotic messes very well. Mm-hmm. So I really love cooking. I always thought, oh, I'm going to be so fun. You know, I bet I'm going to have girls, which I did. But, you know, like, we're going to just cook and it's going to be, you know, roses and birds chirping outside the window. Yeah. And instead, it's just a big hot mess and people were crying and I was blowing off because, you know, oh, there's something all over the floor that shouldn't, you know, an egg or something on the floor and it shouldn't be there. And like I said, when one would help, they all would help. And we've had some good times where we did, you know, Monday is your night to help with supper. And that, you know, Tuesday is Elena's night, you know, Wednesday's Claire's. And that does work very well. I just don't stick with it very consistently.
Yeah.
But I have found, this is like a new truth I just realized today, don't rush that. And I don't hear people saying not to rush that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I hear them saying, get them in there when they're small. You know, they're able to do all these things by the time they're, you know, 6 years old. And that's true. They are capable. But we don't live in a society where they get married at 15 very often. Yeah. So they have a little more time at home, perhaps. But for me, so if your personality is like mine, where I have a sister that does great with those kind of scenarios, but I don't. And I have found it has been so much easier for my sanity to just sort of throw something at them now that they are much older. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, Eileen, why don't you come make these brownies? And she just kind of looked at me and her eyes got big and she said, what are you talking about? I don't know how to make brownies. I said, well, just read the box. And she did.
Yeah.
And it was no big deal. It wasn't this huge, I didn't have to think of it in my head as, okay, now I've got to teach them to cook and I'm already tapped out because we've done all our curriculum and there's nothing left for me to give, but we've got to have a cooking, you know, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
I just thought she'll be 9 in a couple of weeks. She's totally old enough to just read the directions because we do make a lot of things from scratch. But it was a crazy weekend and we got a box. It was an organic box mix. So we got a box mix and she did. And they're delicious. I ate some right before I came on. And that is just so much easier. The other day I just said, Lena, will you make the mashed potatoes? And she did the same thing. She just kind of looked at me and she said, well, I don't know how to make mashed potatoes. And so I told her what to do. But
yeah.
She just did it and it's done and it's easy. And those are skills that she's learned. I mean, you know, and think, you know, how to properly use the knife and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I have found for me to give them time to grow up past the chaotic, there's a mess everywhere stage has saved some of the craziness that you can feel in homeschooling when you, I came about that a really long way to just say the extracurricular stuff. It's okay to hold off on that.
Yeah.
It's okay if someone else's child can make a cake from scratch when they're 7.
Yeah.
And your 9-year-old can't. Because you know what? She can learn that skill in a day.
Yes. Well,
you know,
and
when
I think
you feel like you're there.
Yeah. And I think that if you are wanting to do it at younger ages, like this is kind of where I'm at right now. I have kids who really want to do things in the kitchen. And I've said, okay, I did purchase a course for them to learn, because even though I can teach them all these things, I've been so overwhelmed lately with so many other things going on. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get this course because it walks through incrementally. They can watch these videos. I just have to provide some general instruction, but they can kind of do it themselves. I just oversee it. But we're not doing it during our school year. We're going to do it over the summer when it's not one more thing that I'm trying to add to our school year. Because if I do that, like this morning even, I thought, okay, I really don't want to make breakfast. I'll have my boys make pancakes. But we were having to triple the recipe and do all these things. So I did have to be part of it more, but I had to think to myself, like, this is taking the place of other homeschooling things that we would be doing today. Like, this is an hour and a half long project for them to triple the pancake batter recipe and make enough pancakes for the next 3 days, you know, which is what they wanted to do. And I was just like, okay, fine. Like, you have to remember that other things have to give. It is. Oh, it was. I totally counted it for that. Believe me.
Yes, it is.
But you have to make those allowances and not just think you can keep piling more and more things on. Something has to give.
Oh, yeah. Because you'll burn out, but your kids will burn out too.
Yeah.
They're not limitless on what they're able to absorb in a day.
Yes, absolutely. So I am going to have them do it this summer, but it'll be almost all we're doing, you know, and so that feels less overwhelming to me than trying to do it during the year.
Well, you know, you had mentioned doing your science, I think it is, over the summer.
Yes.
And you were the first person ever. And I mean, I've been around homeschoolers for 35 years, really. And I've never heard someone, maybe they have, but I've never heard someone mention, oh, we're going to do this particular subject in the summer because that will be the only thing we do. I think that is genius. So I'm totally stealing that. And we're doing our science during the summer because we do apologia. So there's a lot of experiments and things. And so during the school year, that tends to get bumped to the back.
Yep.
So we're just going to do it this summer and it's going to be fun. And if it's the only thing we're doing, it's not like it takes up a huge chunk of our day. And it will just be, hopefully, for the most part, enjoyable.
Yep.
And we won't even have to worry about that during the school year.
Yeah. And I found that the summers where we've just kind of had no structure whatsoever, we end up being like, okay, when are we starting school again? Because we just need like some sort of like expectations for what our days are going to have happening in them. So I feel like for us, we're going to do the cooking thing earlier in the summer, and then mid-summer, we're going to start our science. Same thing. We're going to do a chapter a day in Christian Kids Explore, but they're not large chapters. Like, they're pretty small, and then they get to do an experiment every day, and it'll just be a unit study. Like, they'll just be able to immerse themselves in it. I feel like they'll remember the stuff more because we're going to be doing it every day, and then I don't have to worry about it the rest of the year.
Yeah. I think it's brilliant. I love it.
Well, I think that's kind of one of the survival techniques for getting through this hard stuff of homeschooling is finding the hacks. Like, okay, this, I really have to get out of the mindset that things have to go all year long and look like they do in school or, you know, whatever. You have to find the ways to make it more doable. And it might look different for your family than it looks for another family, which is another hard part of homeschooling is it can be really easy to compare your homeschool and your kids and what you're doing to other homeschooling families or even public school families.
Yeah. I think it's almost inevitable.
Yeah.
You have to know that you will do that at some point. And so you have to be prepared to counteract that.
I think that it's especially difficult if you've had a struggling learner, especially if it's your first kid and you know, it's been something like reading where you're just going, oh my goodness, I have other kids coming up behind them and they still can't get a grasp on reading. Like, am I ever going to be able to teach anybody how to read? You know, and then you start comparing your kids to other people's kids. And, you know, it can become so overwhelming and you've got to find a way to keep that in check.
Well, I think comparing your own kids to each other. So my first three were very strong readers very early. Eiley, especially, I mean, she was four and it was like, she didn't have to learn. It just came to her.
Wow.
But Nora has been a totally different story. And so I have kind of doubted, I don't know that I can you know, what if I can't teach her because she doesn't learn like any of the other girls? And so I've kind of been set in my ways for the past 6 years, and all of a sudden, oh, well, you are rocking the boat completely, and I cannot compare her to them, you know, or my ability to teach her compared to my ability to teach them because they were easy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, when you've had these difficulties with a certain kid or you're battling that comparison, kind of one of the best ways to combat that is to make sure that you're in community, which I think in and of itself is its own struggle, because homeschooling can be very lonely. You're with your kids all the time. You're the only adult home all day long. You're not interacting with other people. And especially if you have little kids, I think, and it's harder to get out and do the field trips and the outings and the co-ops and everything, it can become very lonely. And somehow finding community of other homeschooling moms is very important.
Yeah, which can be really hard, I know, for some people in some areas. They're very alone, which we have the internet now, and that helps tremendously. But it still can, if you can at least find one person. I think even if it is maybe an older woman who her kids are grown, but she wishes she had homeschooled, just someone to be an encouragement or to... You can usually, if you try hard enough, you can find plenty of people who feel the same way as you online, whatever way it is that you feel.
Yes.
But just to have someone actually in person that can say, you can do this, you know, or, you know, that even though maybe I didn't homeschool, we still have those kind of days and it will be okay because I know what the end picture looks like. You know, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I do
because
think it's
you will
helpful.
Have horrible days.
Yeah, you will. And I do think it's helpful, though, to find someone who's been in the homeschool trenches, because it is really hard to fully understand what this lifestyle is like if you haven't been there. I mean, I know I hear from a lot of moms, and I know I experienced it myself when my first son started kindergarten. A lot of friendships, it wasn't like they died, you know, and we don't ever talk to each other again. It was just that they fizzled because we were leading two totally different lifestyles. These other moms were having more freedom than they'd ever had before in their mothering years, and I was having more work than I'd ever had in my mothering years. And so without having done that yourself, it's really hard to be able to understand and really encourage that. And so even if you can only find that online, I mean, you and I, I think we're still able to be a huge homeschooling support to each other, even though we're far away, because even the people that I'm local with, it's not like I'm going to see them on a daily basis. I'm still probably talking to them like through Voxer or through Marco Polo, and having that person that you can message in the middle of math and be like, oh my gosh, math will never end today. And have that person be like, I feel ya, sister. Like, even just that is so helpful.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I think it's also helpful to somehow have those supportive people in your life if you happen to be one of those moms who has a spouse who, not that they're against homeschooling, but they're maybe not like super involved, or they don't have like the same conviction about it as you do, or if you have unsupportive family members. It's really important that you have a lot of voices speaking into your life saying, you can do this. Yes, it's hard, but you can get through it.
Yeah. I think I would say that's probably the biggest, well, I think I said that in the beginning, I think the biggest downfall for a lot of people who think, oh, we're going to do this and it's going to be great, is they don't have the support, and they don't have the other women saying, listen, I just know now, we've done enough homeschooling years now that I know our first day is going to be a little rough.
Yeah.
The rest of that week is going to be really fun. And then we're going to have a horrible week. Maybe even a horrible 2 weeks. And then we figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
But I've done this cycle over and over. But in the beginning, even me, who I knew I wanted to homeschool, I would even think, oh my goodness, this is horrible. You know, why am I doing this? This is just a nightmare. It's awful. Everybody's cranky. Nobody wants to do. They don't understand. They won't sit still, you know.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Just push through, you know. Don't. It's good to have someone else who can say, yeah, ours is that way. Like, I can now easily tell other women, hey, yeah, listen, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
And look, we're still going strong and we love it overall.
Yes. Like, I still, even with all these difficulties, I still wouldn't choose to do it any other way. It's still worth it. But you just need to be aware of this stuff and to be able to head off some of it, like the whole starting the school year thing. Now, this is going to be the first year that, I mean, we are going to be doing, you know, science and stuff over the summer, which I think will help. And there are certain things that I'm going to have my boys stay fresh on, like their math. I'm really going to drill math facts into them this summer that they just need to get quicker at.
We are too.
Yep. And they need to both be reading independent, like reading silently every day. Like, those are things that I think if I really stay on top of them this summer, it will make the transition back into next year easier. And I've already planned it. Like, we are having a slow start to our year, literally just adding one new subject every week, but we're also starting that, you know, early August, so it allows us the time to be able to do that.
I'm curious to see how that works for y'all. We may end up doing that. I have a hard time not just I get excited because, like you said, I'm craving the structure, and it's, you know, it's new and the books smell good, and it's my favorite part of the day, really, now, even on bad days. I love being in the schoolroom with the girls. So it's hard for me not to just, you know, yay, we're jumping back in. But I think that this idea has a lot of potential too. And so I'm curious to see how that works to kind of ease into it.
I mean, in all honesty, I've balked at it in years before. I've been like, yeah, I know. I'm supposed to ease us into it. Whatever. We're just going to go for it. But it always backfires on me. And so I just decided this year, like, okay, we are going to take the gentle approach and try to enjoy it more and work them into, because I want them to get into more consistency and more independent learning as they're getting older. And I think that this will help. So we'll see. I'll report back. I'll report back in the fall.
Well, I was just thinking while you were saying that, I think it's a smaller kind of pitfall of homeschooling, but especially if you know a lot of people who homeschool, they'll all tell you, and we're done by lunchtime every day, and it's great. Yeah. And that is true. You have a lot of days that you are done very early in the day. But especially, I've struggled with this year as the girls have gotten older and their school load is heavier and it just takes longer to figure out what they're doing. The beginning of the school year, I really had a hard time with, I can't believe we're not getting done till 2 o'clock every day. Yes. You know, this is crazy. We should be done by lunchtime. And not really taking into consideration that we weren't really starting until 9:30 or 10 every morning. You know, that played a factor too. But I've come to realize that that's okay. We don't have to be done by lunch. And I personally, I'm not very good at being a morning person, and some of my children are not either. So we like the slower mornings. And I think I'd rather go till 2 in the afternoon. You know, we could get up at 6:30 and start by 8. You know, and maybe we'd be done by lunch then, but probably even not then, you know, I'm just with the older girls, not then. So I think realizing that you still, especially as they grow, you're going to have to put in a full school day.
Yeah.
It's not a quick little thing to hurry up and get it over with so you don't have to think about it anymore.
Yes. And I totally have had to break myself out of that mentality because it's been kind of the same for us this year, and that breakfast, I don't even know what's happening to my children. But they're eating me out of house and home. And breakfast takes forever. I feel like
Is it a time sucker?
It's a huge time sucker. And we're just like, I'm cooking and cooking, and they're eating. And while I'm still cooking, they're like, I'm still hungry, and I'm cooking new things. And it's just like, oh my goodness. And so by the time we get started, a lot of days, it's 10, sometimes 10:30. And then I get to noon and I'm like, why aren't we done with school? We should be done with school. I have this like, we should be done with school mentality. And it's taken a lot for me to fight through that and be like, oh, yeah, you didn't start until 10:30 this morning. And so it makes sense. And being okay with, because a lot of the times in the past, like, okay, my little kid's nap time, that's been like time for me to have a break. But now it's having to become time for me to spend one-on-one time doing school with the older kids. And so a lot of it is a mental shift that just has to happen in order for us to get everything done.
Yeah. I think, especially when they're little, it's still so easy because it is so quick it's easy to not get the mentality that this is what your time is dedicated to. Mm-hmm. You know, because I could still do all the house cleaning and all the laundry and all. And as they're getting older, I just can't really. Yeah. I mean, I could maybe fold a load of laundry or something, but the girls, they do that for me anyway, but not really. You know, it's a lot more hands-on. I'm usually sitting and doing something with one of them, and I have to just really be focused on we're doing school right now. It's just, it's not like it used to be. And those days were really fun, but it's kind of really cool to watch them progress and get into the harder stuff too. So that's kind of how I've dealt with it. It's like, well, silver lining is, look at how much they're growing, and it's really, really fun to watch it develop.
Yeah, and I honestly enjoy teaching the older stuff more. I like the stuff that has content to it. Like, teaching kids to read is enough to make me want to pluck my eyes out, but it has to be done. And so
Jason,
I have to remember that, yeah.
He did Nora's reading lesson, I think it may be the first time, and by the end of it, he was looking at me like, my goodness. And I just smiled and I said, every day. I do it every day.
Yep.
And he was grinning at her, but he was looking at me like, oh, when is this going to be over? Oh, my word.
Right?
It was really funny. And I was like,
how many
it takes
words,
patience.
Yeah. How many words you have to listen be sounded out every single sound? Oh.
And all of our girls, every word triggers some thought or memory that they need to comment. And so you're like, well, yes, that's right. But right, let's focus back here. What's the next word? You know, and then, oh, remember this. And so it takes twice as long because you have all the memories or all the thoughts, just whatever thoughts.
My boys totally did not do that. But oh my goodness, Emerson, she'll read lot. Like, I don't like sitting in the parking lot in the car while you go into the store with dad. Like, okay, next word.
It must be a girl thing then. Because I haven't ever taught boys, but I mean, every word. Yes, little words that you would think, like me.
Yes.
Oh, like you love me.
Yes.
Or
oh my goodness,
meat
so
starts
funny.
With me, or, you know, and you're like, that's right, but let's look back at the paper.
Yep, I'm glad you can use it in a sentence, but let's keep moving. Well, and even Emerson will do it with her math. And it's like, she can't just say like, oh, okay, 6 + 1 = 7. She'll say, well, I have a 6 here. And then it says that it's +1. And then, of course, well, that is going to be a 7. And you're like, wow, yes, we just have to elaborate on everything.
I think girls just must need to talk more.
Yes.
I have heard that through the years, so I guess that there is some substance behind that quote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I experienced that in the car the other day, taking Emerson to ballet. I mean, I've driven places with my boys, and it's like, I try to get in conversations with them, but it's mostly pretty quiet. They want to listen to the radio or whatever. She didn't want the radio on. She didn't want music on. She wanted to talk the half an hour there and the half an hour home. Like,
that's hilarious.
I have your ears, mother. Let me expound on what I feel. So,
we tried to watch an episode of Bob Ross last night. And that's what they did. I finally paused it and I turned around and I said, y'all just get finished. Yeah. Say what you need to say because I can't hear a thing. And of course, the one who is trying to listen is going, what did he say?
Yeah.
Was it? What? You know, everybody's just chatting about, I mean, they're chatting about the show or, you know, oh, look how he did that. And Nora's over there going, well, he's a good artist, but he's not as good as you, Daddy. You know, and then she's off on her daddy's the best little trail or whatever. But no one was quiet. No one.
No.
The whole 30 minutes.
Yeah. Which is its own thing that in and of itself. Distractions. There are so many distractions, and especially if you have a few or number of children, they distract each other. They go get distracted, and then trying to rein them back in to doing their schoolwork feels impossible. And then there's the whole category of toddlers, which in and of themselves are just... they're beasts. Can we just be honest for a minute that they are little terrors? And everybody has, you know, I have made all of the little pocket packs and the little toy time things. And they just end up making huge messes because they all have little teeny pieces. And they end up being more frustrating than if I just had the kid sitting on my lap. Like, I don't have any great solution for toddlers other than you just have to put your head down and get through toddlers.
You just have to get through it.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's, we've had, Nora's in kindergarten, but, you know, she only does a few things, whereas the girls are in here a good chunk of the day.
Yeah.
And so she gets very bored still.
Yeah.
But if I, so I've gotten some of those little just dollar store workbooks, just tracing letters, you know, like the A and the B. But every page, it takes her 2 seconds. And then it's, okay, Mama, what do I do next? What do I do next? What do I do next? Show me how to do this. And I'm thinking, well, this is more, I can't do anything but show you how to not be, you know, you're supposed to be out of the way. And instead, I'm spending all my time trying to show you how to use these things that are supposed to kind of keep you occupied for a minute so I can do something else. And so, yeah, I don't know. Just kind of get in there. Just get through it.
Yep.
Set your bar really low and just get through it.
Yeah.
It doesn't last forever.
And I think that there are those times where, you know, putting on a Leapfrog DVD or, you know, just giving them something. Emerson has reading eggs on the computer that she'll go and do. And it's like, at least that will give me a little chunk of time where she can, I mean, she'll be 5 this summer. So she can kind of do that and be occupied for a little longer. Ellie, it's just,
oh, she's at the really hard age.
Yeah. And it's actually even gotten a little bit better now at not quite 2.5 as it was last fall. I thought I was going to jump out the window on my head. It was just like, how am I going to do anything with an 18-month-old, 19-month-old?
Were you doing morning time, like morning basket then?
I attempted it and it was such a nightmare with her that I just, I threw it all out the window. And now she's able to sit a little bit more. She's more interested in what the kids are talking about. She has so many more language skills that she will kind of participate. And so I'm feeling like, oh, okay, like I can bring that back now. It's not gone forever. Yeah. And it was okay. It was good for me to know, too, that I could let it go. Like, I am not the worst homeschooling mom ever if we don't have morning time. Like, it just was not the season for it.
I think that's really important. That's the same thing with us. So when Eileen and Nora were both toddlers, I kept attempting morning time and it was a disaster. I mean, it was just terrible.
Yeah.
And I finally, to save my sanity, I just put it aside, but I knew, you know what, that's okay.
Yeah.
And thankfully, maybe someone even told me, like, you know, it'll be okay. They're not going to you can bring it out later and still get as much from it. It'll be okay that you missed these years with it. And it was truly, those two things do not go together at our house, at least, at all.
For me, it took a friend telling me, because I kept trying to do it, and it took a friend telling me, well, it looks like this just isn't the right time for that right now. And it was like, oh, that's all right? She's like, yes, stop yourself. Like, okay. Thank you.
Because I think that's another community.
Yes.
You need them.
You need other people who are looking from the outside in and they aren't surrounded by your crazy every day, even though they're surrounded by their own crazy, that they can see what you're going through a little bit more clearly and give you those outs that you might not give yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's
important. Just like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's not forever. It'll be fine. And sometimes you just need someone giving you that permission. Maybe you even kind of think it, but you're like, no, but we have to do morning basket because look how beneficial it is. And I want to, and it's wonderful.
Look how many
and we should, everybody else is doing it. Right. Dedicated to this one thing, but it's okay. And for someone to give you permission to stop it. Sometimes you need that.
Yes. Yes. It's so helpful to have that outside voice that's like, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing too, that kind of brings me to getting overwhelmed by your choices and your options in homeschooling. I hear this from so many moms all the time. And I'm going to address this actually in the homeschool course that I have coming out. I'm working on it. It's coming, you guys. It's called The Lovely Homeschool Course, and it will be out hopefully late May, if not then early June. But I'm going to really talk about this because I hear mom saying, like, I just need, like, a big resource where I can see all the different curricula that's available and I can try to figure out what's right for my family. And I just want to be like, whoa, no. Do
Don't do that.
That is the worst idea possible. There are so many steps that you need to take before you're trying to figure out what curriculum is right for your family. And I mean, just figuring out what you're even looking for in your homeschool and how you want to homeschool your kids. Like, all these things have to be identified. And then even then, once you figure out what your style is, there are still so many options. And you need to, this is another one of those comparison things. You can't do all the things. You can't use all the curriculum. And I am guilty of this so badly. But you really, you have to be realistic. And sometimes it takes that friend coming and looking at, you know, your course outline for the year to be like, you don't need to teach your child three different grammar programs. You know, like, right. You need to narrow things down. I know, it's so hard because you feel like you're going to fail your kids or there's going to be gaps in what you teach them. But that's kind of something you just have to grapple with. There will be gaps. There will be gaps. No schooling system, no one can teach their kids everything that they need to know or want them to know. And no kid is going to learn everything that you want them to know.
Well, I think, so I just think of it as life. We're just learning throughout life.
Yes.
So if you, I mean, you'll learn what you learn at home, but you don't stop learning, especially if you homeschool your own kids. That's like a whole second education. Yes. That's a lot better than the first a lot of the time. So, you know, it's, you get what you can, and they won't stop learning. They'll continue learning.
Yeah.
It's not over then.
Well, and I think that's part of the reason we even want to homeschool in the first place, is to teach them how to teach themselves, to teach them how to be researchers and how to look for the information that they need and they want so that they can grow in the areas that they're actually interested in later in life.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So another side to that is, when you look at all, if you looked at all the curriculum choices, a lot of them are good. It's not that one is the best, or especially for different families. But I have really, you know, I've talked your ear off about really struggled between, we go to Classical Conversations, and I'm totally in love with Charlotte Mason and her way of educating. And that's a real battle for me because they are both classical, I guess you could say, but they're different. They're very different.
Yes.
And so the hard part has been, neither one is bad.
Yeah.
It would be so much easier to decide if one was awful, but they're both thorough. They're both good. And just because of the whole community factor, you know, we may end up having to go a little different way than maybe my heart wants to go, or sort of kind of trying to combine the two, although that hasn't worked very well in the past. But yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where we will end up with all that. But sometimes, because they're all good, or most of them are very, very good, if you look at all of them, how in the world can you decipher?
Yeah.
Because they're great.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's a matter of pulling out the pieces that work for your family or your particular kid. It's like, I was talking with a friend of mine just the other day. I actually finally convinced her to officially come on the podcast. So you guys can all be looking forward to that on May 18th because she's just such an inspirational homeschooler. But she's doing a presentation next week at a curriculum fair, which is so out of her comfort zone. She just, even talking about it, she just wants to pass out, which is adorable. But she's so good at making everything with her kids relational. And that's what she's calling her booth, because she was like, what style homeschooler am I? Like, what do I subscribe to? And I was like, well, but you don't subscribe to just one thing. You have bits of Charlotte Mason and bits of classical and some unit study stuff. Like, we don't also have to so put ourselves in a box that we don't allow ourselves to look at any of the other choices. Like, she's able to pick out the things that work best for her family, and she's just calling it relationally driven homeschool. So it's like a whole new thing, you know, where you have the freedom to pull from a lot of these different resources without feeling like you know, I see some people who start in like on a boxed curriculum in kindergarten and they get to second grade and it's totally wearing them out. But they're like, but we are, you know, my father's world homeschoolers, or we are Sunlight right. homeschoolers. And that's what we have to do. And it's like, no, you don't. You can change things, and you will change things as you learn and yeah. you grow along the way. You just can't do it in a way that's like you feel like you're trying to do it all and it becomes overwhelming.
Yeah. Which is so easy. So easy to do.
Yes. Definitely a pitfall of all the different options out there.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is something that I want to hit on that we haven't really talked about yet. We talked about the fact that your kids are always with you, but just the fact of you're in your house more than public school families or private school families are living in their houses. And so it really does take a toll on your home. There are more things because you have all of the teaching stuff that a lot of people don't have in their houses, and you're there all the time. And so there will be more messes, and there's just more stuff. And that's something you have to know walking into this, that your house is so much more lived in than you probably ever thought it could be.
Yeah, that has been hard for me.
Yeah.
Particularly. Just the constant, you know, we just cleaned up this room and there's already stuff out.
Yep.
And that one year where Nora was the only one home most of the day, I did enjoy that aspect of it. Yeah. I will say I did enjoy that, you know, Nora and I would kind of clean up after the girls were gone and it stayed clean until they got home. And that was very good for my sanity, but I'd still rather have them home, but it definitely, for some more than others, that can be a pretty significant struggle.
Yeah, I think it can be tough, like, if you don't have a homeschool space that's dedicated to the collection of the extra stuff. Like, that's something we deal with. I mean, we just use our kitchen table and the space around it. I have one little cupboard and stuff. But especially the more kids that you add to the lineup who are homeschooling, there's more books and more stuff. And you're constantly kind of having to rethink how to store it all and keep it accessible, because you do have to kind of have it at your fingertips all the time. And so, yeah, just beware the stuff.
Yes. Which is another thing of, if you have too many curriculums in the pot, that they all require things for the most part, or different things probably. Yes. And so it can be a lot of stuff very quickly.
Yeah. And on top of that, I think that something that compounds the stuff and the we're always together and all of that is just, this is just its own hard part of homeschooling. It's one word. It is winter, especially if winter is like 9 months long.
Especially Mackenzie's winter.
Oh my goodness, it snowed on Monday. So yes, if you're experiencing, you know, if you feel that you live in Narnia and it is always winter and never Christmas, I feel your pain. I have nothing for you. It's just the pain of winter. They say
I have felt it on your behalf.
Yes, thank you in your 85 degree weather.
Yes, I'm actually kind of sweating right here in this room right now. It's a little warm. I think we are up in the 80s today, so
we have heaters on. I'm currently wrapped in a big bathrobe just to try to keep warm. Yes,
I do feel for you.
And I've tried to I'll just wear a sweater when we go to basketball. It's not spring. I should not be wearing a sweater. I was freezing cold. All right. Enough of my winter rant. But for all of you northerners, I feel your pain. It's just hard. Yes.
It's a real thing. I mean, winter blues, I guess. Your enthusiasm is gone by this point. People are burned out. You kind of need to hit the reset button, and you can't hit it when you're just stuck inside all the time because there's snow on the ground, or it's freezing outside.
Or it's just wet and muddy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just is hard. All right. Well, I think there's probably a lot more things that we could even hit on that are hard things about homeschooling. I mean, you're managing different grades and different personalities of kids and temperaments. And I mean, there's so many more things that we could say. But I think the general idea is that we get it. It's hard. It is legitimately hard. Don't ever think for one moment that it should be easy, because I think anything worth doing isn't easy. it is hard, but you and your kids are going to grow so much from it. And there's a way to get through whatever struggles you're having. If your kid is having trouble learning one subject, there always is a different curriculum that you can try. There are people who can give you support. There are different opportunities and different communities to be getting out of the house and joining co-ops and finding community and fellowship and all of those things. None of these things are insurmountable. You just need to be aware of them.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
In fact, they're much more able to be dealt with if you are. So
yes. Yes. Don't bury your head
listen
in the
to
sand.
The podcast. Yes. Right.
Preach into the choir here, all of you who are listening. Yeah. Thank you so much. And we hope that you've just been able to be like, yes, yes, sister, today, as we have been doing this podcast. We hope that, you know, you feel a little bit less alone in the hard stuff.
Right.
But feel encouraged that you can get through it.
You can do it. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me again today. It was
thanks
fun to do
this. Thanks for having me. Always fun, yeah.
Yes, and I'm sure we will do it again soon. So that's it for this week's episode of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. You can go to boldturquoise.com/30 to get the show notes from this episode. And you can also find links to our sponsor, Jelly Telly, which again, if you go to jellytelly.com and use the code CULTIVATELOVELY, all capital letters, you'll get that 10-page free coloring book and 1 week free. So don't miss out on that. All right, ladies, that's going to be it for this week. But thank you to all of you for listening and telling your friends. Or until next time, go be bold and gracious.